Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Will be airing November the 4th, which happens to be an election day.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, this is state and local. National elections are going to be next year for the Congress again. And what comes up in between the presidential election years is all the House of Representatives are voted on every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be in 2026. That'll be House of Representatives will be voted on. And then the Senate, there'll be a group of senators that has to be, and they're on 6-year terms.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a group of them, not all of them, but a group of them will be up for election.
Up for re-election.
So it's always midterm, what they call midterm. There can be a shift in the control of basically both the presidency and the Congress so that we know the presidency doesn't change midterm. But the Congress, both the House of Representatives and the Senate, could change in terms of majority.
Right.
So it does have a bearing on what that administration.
Right. And that's more next year's elections, though.
That'll be next year. This will be state and local, but opportunity, you know, to vote. And it's always been interesting lately. And lately, I mean, the last 20 years, 30 years, getting worse and worse and worse. But the method that the politicians have learned is fundamentally to attack the other other people that you're trying to elect. You don't hear a whole lot about what they're going to bring.
Right.
You just find out how awful the other guy is and what things have they said and isn't true or whatever. And a lot of what I call even lies and spinning that goes on. And it's kind of funny, and I'm not even looking at it in terms of, one party versus the other, is that when all these political ads come in, I get angry. It's like, oh man, we've lost it. We've lost the heart of doing things that are healthy for everybody. And we just attack everybody. And I even purposely kind of turn them. When I get them on, I turn them off if I'm watching it, because it does, and I have to deal with that, hey, Rich, don't let that anger, So it's interesting, where we go with these elections. But, we were talking last time about the aspect of the sources of anger. He said, unbelievers and believers can be the source of this line of justice issue. And he said, so don't be surprised by either one, and don't set one of them into a different category. I should treat believers differently than unbelievers. He said, they're going to be unique situations, and I have to show you how to handle everything, and don't you develop your own system about it. And I would say, generally speaking, the deepest level of hurts and frustration and level of staying in unforgiveness and bitterness is really because believers have hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe an adjunct to that could be family members who either could be a believer or an unbeliever, but they're close to us.
Right.
And we're kind of shocked by how can they even think that way? I'm part of the family and they treat me this awful way and they really deeply hurt me. But the deepest hurts tend to be believers that we think should be acting differently. And I guess we're just supposed to stuff it. But it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and the energy gets higher. So we said it'd be believer and unbeliever. And then it's caused by pride, self-centeredness, and is going to drive it to deeper and deeper division. Go ahead and read again James 4, those verses in 4 that we talked last time, and then let's pick it up.
Sure. James 4, 1-6. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? For he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then 11, do you want 11 and 12 as well?
Yeah, 11 okay. And 12, yeah.
Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?
Yeah. So he said, whether believer or unbeliever, they both can get in this space of pride. And pride is self-centeredness, that I want what I want, and I'm going to try to control what I want. And I'm going to be the judge of what I think is right. My line of justice is my line of justice. And I don't care what is really a good line of justice because of self-centeredness. And my whole existence is to argue, debate, fight, persuade, troll, manipulate you to agree with me. And if you do, great. And by the way, what they'd like you to do is just passively agree, even when you disagree. But I want you to do what I want to do, and even though you're not happy about it, or completely capitulate and just surrender as well. Okay, isn't it righteous and holy to just let you do what you're going to do? But it builds this root of bitterness in you, you know. And God said that's why it's not healthy to capitulate. I got to direct you to the answer, but don't you decide your own. And he said the proud is actually at enmity against me. And why? Because they're ignoring my line of justice, setting their own line of justice, and then persuading you that their line of justice is to be followed.
Right.
So we understand it, you know, and so, you know, what do we do with it? And what I wanted to talk about a little bit is what are some of the causes of that, that we can observe and understand, which I call normal and then not normal. So normal would be a difference in personality. That the way I see life, because of my personality, I operate in already a different line than somebody else, just because of how I see things. Like, for example, I'm a natural aggressive risk taker. Is that I'm willing to drive through it, try it out. If it doesn't work, we'll fix it. And I can see a little bit, yeah, there's risk there, but let's do it anyway. That's my normal approach. Linda's approach is the opposite.
Right.
Hers is super cautious and doesn't want to take any risk. So, okay, you can imagine decisions we're trying to make. Are we going to have opposition?
Right. Absolutely.
See, normally with each other. Now, interesting enough, you know, and this is the funny piece of God's life, is that when I fell in love with Linda and married Linda, I really liked that attribute of hers. Now, after I get married, guess what? Now it irritates me.
You want to make her like you.
I want her to do what I want to do, because if I stay self-centered, it's I want my way and I want you to follow my way, and I'm going to manipulate you and I'm going to cause you harm because I've crossed the line of justice, which neither one of us have really come to see.
Right.
I've said it one way. She said it completely the opposite, and it's a natural thing. So, and by the way, we've learned how to deal with this, which is instead of me setting any line, you know, God, what is your line? And I know my tendency, so I got to be careful. I'm going to listen to Linda and let her help set that line. And God has he says, I can tell you what it is. I'm going to use both of you to get there. If you have a heart to get there, you know, be willing to get there. He said, and recognize you're never going to change that aspect of processing because of your personality. It's normal that you have a different definition. And so let that be understood. And with that normal thing, don't get upset when I say, let's go, and Linda says no.
Right.
And it's kind of like that's going to be our first line of of action. And he said, don't be upset about that. It's normal. If you let it stay there, see, you're going to fight it. You're going to argue. You're going to debate. You're going to control. You're going to manipulate. And I, in my early years of marriage, I did, because I was dominant, I caused her a lot of hurt. and she stuffed it.
Right.
And it got deeper and deeper and deeper, and roots of bitterness, you know, developed. And then, of course, while she was still stuffing it, my persuasion and action of what I said it was a good thing turned out to be a really bad thing, and we went bankrupt because of it. Mm. And God says, how'd that work out for you?
Really,
not too good.
Something new now, Rich.
Not too good. And then it was, well, do you recognize that your wife's normal approach is healthy? Mm-hmm. And instead of you dominating with that, why don't you be willing to let me set the line mm-hmm. for both of you? You know, and Linda can't stop everything. I don't want her to stop everything. And I don't want you to just go run her over. Mm-hmm. And recognize that. And then another normal aspect is your backgrounds, mm-hmm. how you grew up, what you thought about certain things, about money, children, vacations, holidays, all the things of life that you grew up with tend to be your own patterns.
Right.
And that's why God said, you know, this said in Genesis before the fall is to Adam and Eve, who, by the way, didn't have a mother and father. He said, leave your father and mother and cleave together with a new process. So don't let your historical patterns, mm-hmm. the way you operate and where you thought, dominate. It's normal that you do. Mm-hmm. You're bringing your history with you. The way you operate is based on how you grew up and the patterns you developed. And he said, don't look at him as good or bad. Per se, just recognize that you have normal differences that have to be worked through. Mm-hmm. If I say, well, our family does it, you know, just something simple, and I even have to arbitrate fights about this, is my family says Christmas is Christmas morning and we open up presents. And the wife says, my family says Christmas Eve and we're doing it then. And they fight and fight and fight about something when God says, well, why don't you just let me walk you through what's mm-hmm. going to work for you?
Right.
And don't let the normal difference of opinion based mm-hmm. on your patterns dictate a deep fight where you hurt each other in the process. You know, how we view things is okay that you mm-hmm. come from different places. If you have a heart, don't let that deepen your hurting each other mm-hmm. out of your pride and selfishness. So he said, there's a lot of normal things that are there. That's okay. Recognize them as normal. But don't use that to dominate the other party. He said, okay, now there's a lot of abnormal mm-hmm. contributions. One, continuing unmet expectations. Mm. Is that I expect, and it just never seems to get met. And I just get mad that mm-hmm. you're not meeting those expectations. And that can even attribute up to God, really. Because, right. hey, I thought God, my life was supposed to be better, and it's not. Mm-hmm. And I thought my financial condition was going to be better, but it's not. And how come? And I get actually angry at God mm-hmm. that he's not meeting my expectation. I can live in guilt because of something either I did or happened to me that I contributed to. And this can be a lifelong thing mm-hmm. of something. I know what I did and I've never let myself off the hook. And so I operate out of that guilt and try to operate with what I sense is a way to resolve that guilt. But it never does. Another one could be a purposeful hurt mm-hmm. and that, you know, that person could have even hurt me less and they purposely drove deeper and mm-hmm. did it against me. And it was on purpose.
Right.
Not only am I trying to get my way, I'm trying to hurt you in the process mm-hmm. and I'm coming against you. And it's a purposeful thing. And that's very deep. Another one is a lack of follow through, which is a big one. Is you said you were going to do this, you didn't do it, and you continually don't do it. And I'm really angry that you said you were going to do something for me, but you actually never did. And now I'm hurt by that. And it could be pretty deep. And then I could have a level of woundedness that is constantly impacting me because of something that happened to me when I was a kid or growing up. Mm-hmm. Is I got wounded with and a lot of it, interesting enough, I deal a lot of this right now, is their woundedness is because of their living in a very strict fundamentalist religious household that was so holier than thou and righteous, but they saw the hypocrisy of it all. Mm-hmm. And they were forced to follow a system and it wounded their heart deeply. was something in them that caused fear, anxiety, worry, you know, could be abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse. It could be all kinds of things that I have a wound in me that I've tried to overcome it, but I can't. And the opposite party around me, they keep contributing to that wound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that wound becomes a trigger, right?
And making it worse and worse and worse. Okay, now, so God says you're going to have normal causes and you're all going to have to deal with those normal causes, because it's easy to take those normal causes and you use it, or people use it against you to hurt you. Mm-hmm. I was a contributor of that. I was hurting Linda out of my normal difference of personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I hurt her because I wanted my way. And I want to persuade her that my way is right. And I want her to do what I want while she's getting hurt with her personality was never allowed to contribute.
Right.
At all. It didn't matter. You know, so he said, you can take a normal thing and make it heavy duty in terms of hurt. And there's a lot of abnormal things that people do purposefully, lack of follow through, unmet expectations, touching your wounds. These are all things that are going to come hard against you. Okay. So we know that's right. And that's worldly stuff. Guess what? We have an enemy.
Right.
So if he can observe those things, what is he going to do?
He's going to poke him.
He's going to poke him and go deeper. So read Ephesians 6, 11 to 12. And we got to recognize something is there's a spiritual process behind this.
Yeah. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places.
So he says, while you're dealing in these worldly things with self-centered people, there's a stimulus behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Satan and the demonic is fighting against you with a desire to keep you in hurt and unforgiveness, because then you lack freedom and you can't live out the life of God, which is what he's trying to thwart. He said, yeah, I know you're a believer. I'm going to try to stop you having any impact in your life, one, by not walking with God. And then God cannot use you to invite others to the kingdom,
right?
Which is my battleground. And he said, you're dealing with principalities and powers. And he said, you got to be wary of the tactics, strategies, schemes of the enemy, of what he's up to stimulate. And then if you think of all the things that the enemy does against believers, it happens to be right here.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get you to unforgiveness, and I'm going to cause so much hurt in your life that you get in despair with it, and you never can have joy because you don't learn how to process it. And he says, I have lots of ammunition, because why? You're surrounded by self-centered people.
Right.
And I have access to them to be able to stimulate things. He says, okay, so what does he do? One, he pushes our buttons.
Absolutely.
Okay, now how does he know those? He's observed it.
Observing them, yeah.
And you know, push, I see that affects you. So I'm going to get somebody to push your button and then cause you to get angry and hurt each other. And you can see it in even situations where, you know, you're having a pretty good day.
Mm-hmm.
And then your spouse or somebody else does something to push a button, and you immediately going from having a good day to deep response into the anger, bitterness, and hardness, and it just flips everything. Is that, you know, hey, we're enjoying something, and then your spouse or somebody else just does something, and it flips you completely to anger, frustration, opposition. And why? Because the enemy used that person to push your button. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, we have to identify and then overcome. He can help escalate the feelings through the emotional side of it, so that one party can do something, and then I respond to it, and the feelings get escalated, and now it's getting harder and harder and more difficult because he's escalating the whole thing from a, you know, what could be done well to we've actually taken it to a place where it's very unhealthy and we're actually hurting each other.
Right.
With the escalation, which is kind of like a volcano. Once it started, we can't stop it.
You can't stuff it back in.
And it goes. a lot of things he does is cause miscommunication and misinterpretation. Mm-hmm. So that, and I've noticed this a lot lately, is that it's because people have lost the art of listening. Mm. And somebody will say something and they'll interpret it or respond to it with, you're doing, you're saying, I'm attributing something to it. I didn't hear anything you actually said. And there's miscommunication and misinterpretation. And the enemy, I think, is raising that up today even more so. Mm-hmm. Partly because we're so busy and we're not taking the time to listen, but people are just lousy listeners. Mm-hmm. And then you react to it and it's like, well, I didn't even say that. And I said this, or I'm trying to say this, or I'm trying to get there. And the speed of what we think we need that we can't fulfill leads to miscommunication and misinterpretation, which then escalates our hurt. Mm-hmm. It could be on more and more stress and negative circumstances. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting an adversity, my business, something happened, and I'm always irritated and I'm worried, full of anxiety. And my energy is toward that. And then my spouse comes along or a family member comes along and says something or does something and I blow.
Right.
Because of
which
that,
which really has nothing to do with what's going on. It's more of the background of what you're dealing with.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like another thing I got to deal with, which I don't want to. And so I try to stuff it, but I could have stress building, which the enemy is really good at, because particularly because we're involved in business, we're involved in economics and all kinds of stuff. The enemy has so much self-centered people around that he can use them easily to make adversity for me. And then an interesting thing is that he uses distractions and busyness that I'm involved in too much stuff that when somebody does something, I don't take time to process it. And it goes deeper and deeper and deeper because I'm so busy trying to deal with all this other stuff that I just overrule it and I don't ever process it. So what happens is it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. So as you look at understanding these causes, is it normal personality, viewpoints? Yep. Are there a lot of abnormal things? Yes. And they're going to happen all the time. And then the enemy is behind it, observing. And he's pushing, creating, where in essence, and a lot of people say, man, I'm not getting a break. And I said, guess what? You're not gonna, you know, it would be like, well, why don't we just have complete peace and no problems? And he says, unfortunately, you're dealing with a self-centered world with a Satan behind it. And they're going to relentlessly try to keep you oppressed with anger. So we need to understand that there's a depth behind it. It's a spiritual process going on. And in order for us to overcome that, we're going to have to learn a spiritual process to overcome it, which is what God will show us. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us what this really is, and that the world and the enemy are using things to keep oppressing us, keep us in pain, keep us in deep hurt, where we can't resolve anything. And it just becomes heavier and heavier. And our life is getting edgy because of it. And so we just pray that we'll learn how to take everything back to release through forgiveness and then learn what to do with it next. And just thank you for giving us this insight. May we not be surprised by it. And may we not be afraid of it. Recognize it's just going to be there and we're going to have to learn how to process well. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Rich. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.